plan today to start with the Bible lesson. So it's my intention to try to finish off this subject today. This is my fourth week on the subject of anxiety and panic attacks. That's the title. The subtitle is Trusting God When You're Afraid by the author Jocelyn Wallace. Just to give a very quick review, since it's been a couple of weeks, we found that the Bible does have a lot to say about anxiety or worry or fear. Those are common words in the Bible. We started by looking at what the Bible has to say about the experience of anxiety, and then moved to how to address anxiety and the temptation and the sins that go along with the fear of man and of worry. The way that the author describes it is she calls it God's cure for anxiety. And if you look at her booklet, you would see that she has three sub-points there that I emphasized over several weeks. First of all, to trust the God who cares for you. Second, to seek God first. And third, to get to the heart of your anxiety. She expands that third point as well, which I also looked at, but here again the summary from Wallace, as you examine your own fears or examine what you're going through, that number one, anxiety can point to what you most want, or secondly, it can point to what you really believe, or thirdly, it can point to what you really think. So we looked at some of those temptations that go along with anxiety and how they steer you to believe falsely about God, or to take to yourself the solutions rather than depending on God. I started at my last lesson then to speak about practical ways to deal with anxiety. And in that last lesson, I gave a very narrow focus or a very pointed focus on the value of the Psalms and the way that they lead you to trust God and to seek Him first. The author goes on, and I'm going to go on today, to go over several other practical steps in addressing anxiety and other aspects that we've touched on just a little bit, but bringing them into very practical aspects. And here again, I'll use Wallace's outline, but expand on those so that hopefully you can understand those. So the first practical step that the author suggests is what she calls keeping short accounts. And I have several verses that I'd like you to look up here, and I'll take volunteers for these verses. Would someone look up Psalm 38:18? Thank you, Sam. And then Psalm 32, verse 3. Thank you, Rachel. And Rachel Spittler and Rachel Yost, you can take Proverbs 28:1. We'll start with Psalm 38:18.
I confess my iniquity. I am sorry for my sin.
Does anybody have a New American Standard on bed?
No, I King James.
I like the New American Standard on that one. It says, I confess my iniquity. I am full of anxiety for my sin. So read it again from the ESV.
I confess my iniquity. I am sorry for my sin.
Being sorry for your sin is definitely part of a conscience that's burdened. But I like the New American there of expressing something a little bit more about the burden that we have when we sin. And part of keeping short accounts is that we need to be on a short account with God. Oftentimes, anxiety can be an indication that we aren't right with God. And when you are holding back repentance or confession to God, that can bring a boatload of anxiety, to put it mildly. And confession, it is said, is good for the soul, both eternally and day by day. Being right with God and having short accounts with Him is very important. The other verses that I've given go along this same line as well. So let's hear Psalm 32:3.
When I kept silent, my bones grew through my groaning all the day long.
Very picturesque language that David uses there. When I kept silent, when I did not confess my sin, my bones decayed, and they grew old. I groaned over that. And Proverbs 28:1.
The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion.
We often focus on the last half of that verse, that the righteous are bold as a lion, but the first half of that verse is very important. The wicked flees when no one pursues. The idea there is that the guilty conscience of the wicked makes them to jump at shadows, we might say, or to flee when there isn't anything there, to be always scared or always anxious. There are a variety of novels that describe this. You might think of someone who is guilty of a crime and is trying to hide that, and how hard it is for you to do that. Vicky was over here trying to wash the spots out of her hands. So Lady Macbeth had a guilty conscience and could not get rid of that. And when you're not right with God, there are anxieties that go along with that. So if you're experiencing anxiety, it's appropriate for you to stop and to ask, is there sin that I'm holding on to? Have I been clutching to something and God is trying to get my attention by His Spirit or that conscience that He has placed in us? And if so, then your steps are clear. They're very practical: to repent of your sin and to confess that to God. And remember that guilty conscience or the sin might be another area of your life: covetousness, jealousness, lust, other things that are burdening your conscience. But remember that worry itself is a sin, and that if you're hanging, you may be hanging on to worry itself, and that may need confession to the Lord and to ask God's forgiveness. There's another aspect of keeping short accounts that's very important, and that is to keep short accounts with others. When others sin against you, it creates a lot of tensions. We live in a redeemed community, but a redeemed community is not a perfect community. And that means that we will sin against each other. And when that happens, there's a brokenness that comes into a relationship that is a source of much tension and much worry. It can be illustrated especially in family life, where there's tension between brothers or sisters or husband and wife. And if you don't keep short accounts with each other and address sin as it arises, then those difficulties and those burdens can grow bigger and bigger. One of the very important practical things that you can do is to repent when you have sinned and to forgive when someone comes to you seeking forgiveness. And I'll emphasize that last aspect, since I've already emphasized the repentance to God, which should also lead to repentance to others. But you also need to keep short accounts by forgiving those who repent. When others do repent and they seek your forgiveness, you need to forgive them. It is good for your soul, but it's also commanded by Christ. How many times must I forgive my brother who sins against me? Lord, if I forgive him 7 times, have I done enough? How would you answer that?
Does God have a limit on his
forgiveness to you? That's good. I think I heard somebody say 70 times 7 as well, which is the same thing. God doesn't have a limit. The disciples thought that they were setting the bar inhumanly high by saying, yeah, I'll forgive my brother 7 times. And aren't I a big man for doing that? But Jesus says, no, I say 70 times 7. In other words, there is no limit to the forgiveness which is required of you, because that's how God has treated you. To not forgive will be an incredibly heavy weight on your soul and a source of all manner of anxiety. Hebrews 12:15 warns about letting a root of bitterness grow up in your heart. It's very picturesque language too. What does that make you think of when I say a root of bitterness?
Thorns?
Yeah.
Something that grows and continues to expand underneath the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Becoming more and more entrenched.
Yeah. And because of both of those things, they become increasingly difficult to get rid of and increasingly more burdensome. So the first practical step on dealing with anxiety is to keep short accounts with God and with others. Secondly, and this is Wallace's title, give control to God. He's in control anyway, by the way, in parentheses in her title. So give control to God. The author observes, most people who are filled with anxiety struggle with trying to control and manipulate situations to ensure that they will work out in a way that keeps them safe from their perceived dangers. That's a pretty good observation, that when people struggle with anxiety, that they often will also struggle with the temptation to try to control every situation and to manage their life in such a way that they don't get into those situations that make them fearful or that give them the anxiety. When you do this, you're trying to be God. This is one of the reasons why worry is a sin to be repented of. It's because more often than not, you are trying to be God, and you're trying to arrange everything to your own fancy and to suit your own desires. This goes back to a previous lesson where we looked especially at trusting God who is great and trusting God who is good, that trust God who cares for you, and then to seek His kingdom. To address this type of worry and this type of response to worry, practically, it's important for you to emphasize the greatness of God in your devotions. Emphasize it in your memory work and in your prayers. And remember that even Jesus Himself prayed in this way. He said, "Not my will, but your will be done." It takes a very deliberate step and a deliberate act of faith to recognize that God really is in control, and that when you try to seize that or grasp that to yourself, that you're trying to play God, and to turn away from that, recognize it as it happens, repent of it, and to ask God to help you to recognize His sovereignty in those situations. You can do that especially by focusing on growth during the quiet moments of your life. This is the third practical aspect. When the crisis happens, it's too late to be prepared for it. To give an example of this, I know that in our house, that Mary has prepared a tornado bag. Now, Mary, what have you put in your tornado bag? And somebody else has too. Rachel, is it you? What are some things you put in your tornado bag?
Flashlight.
Yeah.
Water bottle. Snack.
Yeah. Yeah. What would the what would you other children put in a tornado bag if you had a tornado bag? Your cats? Your dog? Oh, what was that over here?
Oh, I was going to say the cats would be in the bag anyway.
Ah, that's true.
Put the cats
outside.
That's animals?
Okay.
Take advantage of the situation. Have a little windmill, you know, just stick it on the outside. Might as well get some power.
It's too late to put that bag together when the tornado siren sounds, right? And that's the idea. There's a sense of preparedness that Mary and Rachel have had so that they're ready should a tornado strike. Worry and anxiety and fear are going to strike. It's part of our life. We face a variety of unknown situations, and it's important then to be prepared, and to prepare during those quiet moments. That means that you need to be proactive and intentional about what you do, direct your heart and mind to think about in your devotions. I've suggested in earlier lessons to emphasize the Psalms, to emphasize the greatness and the goodness of God. So if you are constantly plagued by worry, then I would encourage you to emphasize reading, singing, memorizing the Psalms as a part of that preparedness for times of that you do face worry. Fourthly, I'd encourage you to analyze your anxiety. Earlier I summarized that Wallace talks about getting to the heart of your anxiety by saying that anxiety points to what you want, what you believe, what you think, or how you think about the world. And this is what a doctor might do if someone comes in and is complaining of a bellyache or something like that. A doctor would ask you some questions about when did this start to hurt? What did you eat? Did you have any physical activity? Just a variety of different questions that they might ask. So in those quiet moments, take time to reflect on what it is that made you anxious the night before or earlier today. You can ask some of those questions. What is it that was threatened in the midst of your anxiety? What is it that it was revealing that you really wanted? You might remember that at the beginning of the booklet that I read about people who were fearful or felt this rising sense of panic, that there were certain things that they wanted. Some were fearful of losing their jobs and the anxiety that that brought on. Others were fearful of a relationship changing, or a variety of things. So ask yourself those questions. What is it that I was afraid of losing or of experiencing? And as you ask questions about that, it would be helpful for you, if this is something that you face on a regular basis, to keep a journal over a week's time, and to stop at a quiet point each day and to write down your thoughts about the anxiety or the fear that you have experienced. Answer questions that I've already said, or what triggered the anxiety. I'd also encourage you to ask someone to help you to analyze them. If you've written them down, ask your parents or ask your spouse or ask an elder to help you to work through what it is that made you afraid and what promises of God's word can be of help to you in that situation. A fifth and final point that Wallace makes is to take care of your body. I hope that you remember that I started this subject by acknowledging that there can be a physiological element to anxiety and specifically to panic attacks. And so it's important for you to recognize that you need to take care of your body, and that your mind needs rest. Your mind has certain needs of diet and exercise that are part of a normal routine. You may recognize this just going through the holidays, and maybe your routine was different and you stayed up a lot later than you usually stayed up. Were your kids more cranky the next day if they didn't get the sleep that they needed? Or were you less patient with others if you didn't have the rest that you needed? Well, that's part of addressing anxiety, is to take care of your body. Get the rest, exercise, diet that you need. And if a condition persists, then it's important and proper for you to consult a doctor to see if there are other physiological things that you need to address. I will make one other comment, and that is I've drawn in some things as well from today from an article that was published in the OCHEC magazine that was on the subject of helping your children to address fears in their life. And I know that there were some that had especially wanted that. I've tried to address it in the midst here, but I'd be very happy to make a copy of that for anyone who would like that. I found it to be a good article. That was in the OCHEC magazine just recently. I can't remember the title of it. I meant to bring a copy of it today. Just let me know and I can email you a copy of that sometime. Let me open it up and see if you have questions or comments today on the subject of anxiety.